This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome to another one of our episodes that is dealing with various topics that the Qur'an has given due attention to and how it has addressed them. Today we want to be speaking about a topic that affects every single human being, Muslim and otherwise. The topic of the night. When the sun sets and it is now the hours of the night, people's ambitions and doings and intentions vary enormously from person to person. For some people, the night marks the rest, the beginning of rest, and for others, it marks the beginning of all sorts of doings. For others, the night is an opportunity for them to act upon certain sins that would have been otherwise very problematic to act upon by day. And for other people, the night is an opportunity to stand bowing and prostrating to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Which one of those categories do you feel you fit in? Why are we giving this particular topic of the night this due attention? And the answer can be summarized in several points. The first is that the night is that moment or the time that Allah Almighty has chosen for His divine descension to the very first heaven on a nightly basis. The time that was chosen for that was the night. The night is also that time that was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the descension of the Qur'an. Allah Almighty said, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr." We have brought down the Qur'an on the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr. The night is also that time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem to the heavens. The time that was chosen was the night. The night is that time that was chosen by Allah Almighty to make it home for the many prizes of Ramadan. The prizes are found primarily in the night. Allahu Akbar. We have also chosen this topic because it is a topic that the Quran has given so much attention to. The very first heading, if you wish, is night and its threats. The night and its threats. There are certain threats associated with the night. Allah Almighty said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, I seek refuge in Allah, the Lord of daybreak. So you are seeking refuge in Allah Almighty. You want protection in Allah from something you fear. What is it? مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. From the evil of all what He has created. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. And from the evil of the night when it sets. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ. And from the evil of the blowers in knots, meaning the magicians. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. And from the evil of those who show envy. So one of the things that you seek refuge in, and we are taught to ask protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah that you just heard, is the night when it settles. غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. When the night settles, this is the beginning of certain threats if we don't take care of ourselves. So we seek refuge in Allah Almighty, in Him from that. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also say, as Bukhari al-Muslim narrate on the authority of Jabir, إِذَا كَانَ جُنْحُ اللَّيْلِ أَوْ إِذَا أَمْسَيْتُمْ فَكُفُّوا صِبْيَانَكُمْ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْتَشِرُ حِينَئِذٍ فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ سَاعَةٌ فَخَلُّوهُمْ. He said, when it is the very first portion of the night, then bring your children inside. Bring your children inside. Because this is the time, he said, that shaitan disperses. When that part of the night passes, then allow them to go back out. The question that poses itself here is, how come the night is such a threat for us? What was it that the Messenger ﷺ identified in the night, whereby he told us that we are to bring in our children during that hour, especially the first part of the night? Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he comments on this. And he said that the reason why there is a fear for children during that particular part of the night and why we were told to keep them in the house for that moment is because the impurities that the devils latch onto and depend upon are usually found in greater amounts with children than they are with others. And at the same token, the remembrances, the afkar, that would have otherwise protected you and fortified you from the latching and the grip of shaitan, they're not usually present with children. And that is why there is a fear more so for children than there are for others. And he also mentions that the night is a time that is far more conducive for the devils with respect to travel. They find it easier to pass through when it is night. And it is this reason why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us as responsible fathers and mothers to bring in our children during that particular moment of the night. Therefore, brothers and sisters, with this brief introduction, it becomes imperative and it becomes obviously clear that we are to take certain safeguarding measures in order to protect ourselves and our children from the threats that come with night, whether it's from shaitan or any other thing that may be involved during that hour of the evening. So the question here is, what are the safeguarding mechanisms? What is it that we can say or do to protect ourselves from these threats that we are identifying? Let us list a few of them. The first, and funnily enough, this was mentioned by shaitan himself. Subhanallah, Imam al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of the companion Abu Huraira, an incident that the companion would never forget. Abu Huraira, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam once appointed me to take care of the Muslim treasury and the foodstuff there. And so, as I was there on one particular evening guarding, I heard somebody rummaging through the food. And I came and I saw an old man. So I grabbed him by his arm and I said to him, I'm going to take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stealing from the Muslim treasury. He said to me, please don't do that. I am an old man, my state is pitiful, I have a large family, I have expenses to take care of. If you let me go, I won't come back. So Abu Huraira let him go. The next day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Abu Huraira. He said to him, Abu Huraira, what did your guest do last night? Subhanallah, look, without even him telling him anything about the incident last night, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew through revelation. He said to him, what happened with your guest? He said to him, Messenger of Allah, such and such happened. He said to him, he has told you a lie and he shall come back. On the next evening, Abu Huraira was guarding as usual. And then he heard some sort of rummaging in the back again. And he went to see what it was. And again, it was the same old man rummaging through the food. So he grabbed him by the arm. He said to him, this is the second time. I'm going to take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, he began to say, I'm an old man. I have a pressing need. I have expenses to take care of. I have a large family I'm responsible for. Let me go. I won't come back. So Abu Huraira, he let him go. The next day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Abu Huraira. He said to him, Abu Huraira, what did your guest do last night? Abu Huraira said, well, he complained of a pressing need and a large family, and I felt pitiful for him, so I let him go. Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Huraira, he has told you a lie and he shall come back again. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, revelation from Allah. On the third evening, Abu Huraira, he said, I knew he was going to come back, just as I knew the second time he was going to come back, subhanallah. And again that evening, he came and he was rummaging. I caught him by the arm and I said to him, this time I'm definitely going to take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the third time. The old man said to him, look, if you let go of me this time, I will teach you something that I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit you through it. He said to him, what is that? He said to him, إِذَا أَوَيْتَ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِكَ فَقْرَأْ آيَةَ الْكُرْسِيِّ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنَامُ فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَزَلْ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَافِظُ وَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّكَ شَيْطَانٌ حَتَّى تُصْبِحُ. He said to me, when you go to sleep each night, make sure that you recite Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, from Surah 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 255. Recite Ayatul Kursi, which, dear brothers and sisters, is the greatest ayah in the whole Quran. Make sure you memorize it. Recite it. And if you do, the old man said, there will be a guardian sent over you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you that evening. And no shaitan can harm you till the very next morning. La ilaha illallah. So Abu Huraira, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "What happened with your evening? What happened with your guest last evening?" And I said to him, "Well, he complained of a pitiful state. After returning the third time, I grabbed hold of him. I was going to bring him to you. He said he's going to teach me something." The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What did he teach you?" He said, "Well, he taught me to recite Ayatul Kursi before going to sleep each night, and he promised that it would protect me from shaitan, and there will be a guardian over me till the very next day." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon hearing this, said, "Ama innahu qad sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub." That man has told you the truth, although by his nature he is a liar. "O Abu Hurairah, do you know whom you have been speaking to for the last 3 nights?" Abu Hurairah said, "Who?" He said, "You have been speaking to a shaytan, to a devil," Allahu Akbar, "who had taken the form of a human being." The point is, this is a safeguarding measure that was mentioned by shaytan himself, and more importantly, it was approved by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Each evening when going to sleep, recite it yourself. And encourage your children to recite it. And make sure nobody goes to sleep until they have first recited this ayah. It is silly of us, dear brothers and sisters, to drop our guard during this moment of weakness when we are going to sleep. And then when a problem happens later on in our lives to our wives or husbands or children, we start rummaging around trying to find some sort of cure for the symptoms we are experiencing. This is a cure and a safeguarding measure mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and approved by him. Stay with us, we will continue after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters, welcome back. After setting the scene by introducing the topic of how the Quran speaks about the night and speaking about some of the many threats that come about when the sun sets, and also addressing one of those safeguarding mechanisms for ourselves and for our families, namely the recitation of Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, before going to sleep, let us proceed with a second safeguarding mechanism against shaitan and the threats that come with the night. The element of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when entering your home. Even if you're entering your home 10 times a day, in and out, say the name of Allah. Remember the name of Allah in the form of Bismillah or something to that effect when entering your home. This will be an active form of protection. How come? That is because Imam Muslim narrates on the authority of the companion Jabir that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person enters his home and he remembers the name of Allah, shaitan will say to his friends, "La mabita lakum wa la asha." You don't have a place to stay here this evening, and you don't have any food either. Allahu Akbar. This is not our place. This will not be our bed and breakfast this evening. If, however, he said, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you enter your home and you don't say Bismillah, shaitan will say to his friends, "You found your resting place this evening. We'll spend the night here." And if you do not say Bismillah upon eating, shaitan will say to his friends, "You have found your resting place this evening and you have found some food as well." Allahu Akbar. Yes, we want to be generous hosts, dear brothers and sisters, but not to shaitan. So this is a key safeguarding mechanism. Number two, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when entering your home. Say Bismillah and ensure that all of your family members say Bismillah. Like the hadith which Abu Dawood narrates in his Sunan, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say upon entering his home, "Bismillahi walajna, in the name of Allah Almighty we have entered. Wa bismillahi kharajna, and in the name of Allah Almighty we leave. Wa ala rabbina tawakkalna, and upon our Lord we rely." Allahu Akbar. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would greet his family. Encourage every one of your family members to say this upon entering your home. On this note, there is an amazing story which Imam al-Dhahabi narrates regarding the famous scholar of hadith, Yahya ibn Ma'in. Imam Yahya, he said that every time I would enter my home, I made it a habit that I would recite Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, 5 or so times upon my family and for the benefit of my home. And this became a habit in my life. On one particular evening, I entered my house, I recited this verse, this ayah, and I heard somebody speaking to me. saying to me, "Kam taqra hada? Why do you keep reciting this?" It's as if nobody knows how to recite except you. Yahya ibn Ma'in knew exactly what that sound was all about. And he said, in response, Imam Yahya said, "It seems as if my recitation is bothering you. So I will tell you what, I will increase it to make things difficult for you." And so Yahya, he said, "I would then recite Ayatul Kursi upon entering my home 50 to 60 times. Allahu Akbar." He recognized that was Shaytan, who was being very much bothered and annoyed by the frequency of his recitation of Ayatul Kursi. Another safeguarding measure, dear brothers and sisters, from Shaytan, for ourselves and from our families, to protect ourselves from the threats of the night. When going to sleep, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us in the authentic hadith that Bukhari documents, that when one of us goes to sleep, Shaytan approaches each and every one of us and ties three knots at the back of our heads. And he says, speaking or blowing into each of those knots, like the works of a magician, Allahu Akbar, he speaks into these three knots saying, "Nam, layluka taweel," go to sleep, relax, you've got a long night ahead of you, subhanallah. And he does this to all three knots. In other words, he doesn't want you to wake up for your Fajr Salah. He's making every effort to prevent you and I from praying our Qiyam, our midnight prayer. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if somebody wakes up and remembers Allah, one of those three knots is undone. La ilaha illallah. If you go to the bathroom and you do wudu, you carry out the ablution, the second of the two knots is undone. If you pray something, then the third of the three knots is undone. And therefore, he said, you will wake up feeling nashitan. You will feel energetic and strong and enthusiastic, طيب النفسي, and very content and happy. Otherwise, you will be خبيث النفسي كسلان. You will feel lethargic and lazy and unenthusiastic for the rest of the day. So this is another safeguarding measure when going to sleep and waking up. This is a key thing to do: to remember Allah, to carry out your wudu, and to pray something before carrying out your day-to-day duties. There is another safeguarding measure, dear brothers and sisters. I want you to memorize this particular dua. And I think a lot of people will hear this dua for the very first time. It's a narration that Ahmad narrates in his Musnad on the authority of the companion Abdul Rahman ibn Khanbash, that a man once asked him, "How did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam behave on the night when the devils plotted against him? كَيْفَ صَنَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam حِينَ كَادَتْ لَهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ?" What did he do on that night when they all conspired against him? It was a difficult evening for our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the companion Abdul Rahman responded by saying that that was a night when devils came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the valleys and the mountain passes, and they all came against him. And one particular shaitan, who was carrying in his hand an ember or a flame, wanting to throw it in the face of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And here Angel Jibreel would descend to support the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Qul," say. And he said, "What should I say?" He said to him, "Qul a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammat." Memorize these words. Say, "A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammat. I seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min sharri ma khalaqa wa dhara'a wa bara. From the evil of everything that Allah Almighty has created. Wa min sharri ma yanzilu min as-sama'i wa min sharri ma ya'ruju fiha. And from the evil of everything that descends from the heavens, and the evil of everything that ascends into the heavens. Wa min sharri ma dhara'a fil ardi wa min sharri ma yakhruju minha. And from the evil of every evil that is sown and from the evil of everything that is sown within the soil, and the evil of everything that comes out of the soil. وَمِنْ شَرِّ فِتَنِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and from the evil of the night and the day. وَمِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ طَارِقٍ إِلَّا طَارِقًا يَطْرُقُ بِخَيْرٍ يَا رَحْمَنِ, and from the evil of everything that comes knocking, except that which comes knocking with goodness. O Rahman, O Most Merciful. What was the outcome when he said this dua? The narrator says, فَطَفِئَتْ نُورُهُمْ وَهَزَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, and therefore he said their lights of the devils, their fire, their embers were extinguished, and Allah Almighty defeated them. لا إله إلا الله. Let us repeat the dua just in Arabic. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ التي لا يجاوزهن بر ولا فاجر من شر ما خلق وذرأ وبرأ ومن شر ما ينزل من السماء ومن شر ما يعرج فيها ومن شر ما ذرأ في الأرض ومن شر ما يخرج منها ومن شر فتن الليل والنهار ومن شر كل طارق إلا طارقا يطرق بخير يا رحمن. It's important to note, brothers and sisters, that these safeguarding measures, these statements, these actions that we alluded to earlier, and others that you will come across in like the Fortress of the Muslim booklet that I recommend you benefit from, these remembrances are not merely a protection from the physical effects and the harms of shaitan, but rather they are a means of protection from the intangible harms that may come in my direction or yours. An inability to enjoy the sweetness of salah, an inability to lower the gaze, our lack of ability, say, to pray at night, our weakness when confronting doubtful arguments and strange matters, and how it sometimes shakes our hearts. All of these elements that we are speaking about are a protection against these immaterial things as well, not just the physical harms. You are able to be a far more productive and successful person during your daylight hours by mentioning and acting upon these things. It's not just a protection against physical harm. And I give you just one example and we will conclude with this. Malik ibn Dinar was a man who had pretty much renounced the life of this world, and his home was barely furnished with anything. He didn't want much, he didn't possess much. On one particular night, there was a thief that came creeping into his house wanting to steal, and Malik saw him. And he noticed that he began rummaging around. He didn't find anything worthy of being stolen. So he was making his way back out. So Malik called him. Salaamu alaikum. The man said, wa alaikum salam. He said to him, brother, it's obvious that you didn't find anything in my house worthy of being stolen. So would you like to take something that will benefit you in the hereafter instead? He said, yeah, certainly. He said, go to that sink over there. Do your wudu, wash yourself, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Subhanallah. So he did that. The man said to him, do you mind if I spend the rest of the evening with you? And Malik ibn Dinar said to him, no, I don't mind at all. So he spent that evening with him. And then they woke up for Salatul Fajr, the early dawn prayer. And Malik brought him with him to the mosque. And he would usually go to the mosque by himself. So people were like, who is your guest? Who is this man, O Malik? He said, جَاءَ لِيَسْرِقْ فَسَرَقْنَاهُ. This is a man who came to steal from us, so we stole him instead. This is a man who came to steal from us, so we stole him instead. The point of mentioning this, dear brothers and sisters, is what was it that gave him this composure during this quite a dramatic scene? When a thief came creeping into his home, it was the likes of these remembrances that give you steadfastness and stability and composure and clarity of mind during the challenges that you and I experience by night and by day as well. Allahu Akbar. These are some of the safeguarding measures that I wanted to share with you regarding the night. I really hope you will act upon them, even if you need to listen to this episode twice or thrice after this. In our next episode, we shall be continuing on this very same topic, inshallah, how the Quran speaks about the night. I hope you will join us then.